Hello and welcome to our fifth Game of Life Masterclass call. Oh my gosh, I am so excited to be meeting with you. It's been quite the 2 weeks. But the first thing we're going to do is look at admin. And in that admin information, I just want to share with you again that the planet Mercury is now retrograde, went retrograde on Friday. So if your communications and your technology have been a little off, that's why. Just be patient. Ask your angelic team to support you. And as soon as you get the opportunity, listen to the Take Charge of Mercury Retrograde and peek into your future program that's on the Masterclass Central webpage. I think it'll really help you to understand more about what's going on and support you to flow and ease and grace, which we all want to do. Okay, so now we're just going to create our safe, sacred space with our angelic team. So just get comfortable, whew, take a few deep breaths, and we'll quiet our minds. And then I'll begin with a prayer and build our sacred circle of love. Okay, so please just get comfortable, close your eyes. And I want to ask the angels to please control the energy so our technology will keep us all connected. So just take a really deep breath, and with your feet flat on the floor and your hands gently in your lap, just close your eyes and focus your attention on your heart. And with another deep breath, and a slow exhale, just shift your focus to gratitude of the blessings in your life. And just embrace those things that you're grateful for. And now ask yourself these questions. Don't try to answer, just ask and allow life to move you into the answers. Who am I? What do I want? What's my purpose? What makes me happy? And now simply allow yourself to be aware of your physical body, your hands in your lap, and your feet flat on the floor. And now focus again on your heart. And just allow yourself to hear the beating of your heart as a sound or feel it as a sensation. And with another very deep breath, I ask the angelic guardians of the heavens and the earth, of the east, of the south, of the west and of the north to join us now, bringing with you the most powerful magnetic force in the universe, love. Father, Mother, God, creator of all that is, we are so grateful for this opportunity to come together as one with singular intention. We ask for your help to expand into a greater awareness of being. We ask for your assistance to understand Florence's teachings at a greater level of mastery and apply them to fulfill our square of life, to manifest as our reality the dreams and desires of our heart, all that's ours by divine right under grace. In deepest gratitude, amen. And now we'll create our sacred circle of love with the angels. So if you're in Asia, Africa, or Antarctica, please take my hand and that of an angel and join our circle. If you're in Australia, please take my hand and that of an angel and join our circle. If you're in Europe, please take my hand and that of an angel and join our circle. If you're in North America, Please take my hand and that of an angel and join our circle. And if you're in South America, please take my hand and that of an angel to join and complete our circle. We come together as one, with singular intention of transcending the fear of our planet to be the vibration of love. Now I want to ask you to just please step into the center of the circle as the angels and I hold the circle's safe space. And with a deep breath, the angels and I infuse you with love of the highest order. We see you as powerful, fearless, as one with all that is. We infuse you with strength, stamina, and healing love energy, holding you safe in all directions of time. We ask that you accept in this moment the knowing that all that makes your heart sing with joy is already yours. Breathe deeply of this love light. And now, once again, I ask you to rejoin our circle of love, taking the hands of the angels. And together we send unconditional love to each other across the soils and waters of Mother Earth. And through this singular intention of empowered support, we hold to this energy of being magnets for life experiences of this high vibration of love energy. And now with a deep breath, we ground into this energy. Just see roots from your feet going down into the soils of Mother Earth, down to that core light of healing, loving energy at her center. And with a deep breath, bring all this powerful love energy back up through the soils to your feet, up your legs, to your heart. Fully grounding this magnificent vibration of love as yours, now and always. And when you're ready, open your eyes. And now we'll get into our class content. As usual, this week's chapter, The Law of Karma and the Law of Forgiveness, open the way for a greater, deeper understanding of the power within us. Florence tells us that desire is a tremendous force and must be directed in the right channels or chaos ensues. She tells us our most important step is the first step, to ask aright. And that we should always demand only that which is ours by divine right. Now, when we read this, our human brains naturally go to, and just how do we know something's ours by divine right? Well, before we dive into that, I want to address Florence's story about the woman who wanted the house. The house that the woman got because the owner died, and then her husband died. And the house became a white elephant on her hands for years. And that white elephant means that it was a possession that the owner could not get rid of. The woman asked if Florence thought she had anything to do with the man's death. And Florence told her, yes. Now, as I've mentioned before, we're not only translating Florence's 100-year-old words, we're also translating across languages. Because you're all over the world, and English may not be your first language. So taking her words at face value in today's world, I'm not really in agreement with her statement that the woman had a hand in the men's deaths. And this is why. I personally believe that we cannot influence the date of another person's death. I believe each of our bodies have an expiration date, if you will, and we nor other people can change that. Even if someone is murdered, their body was going to die on that date anyway. Or if someone commits suicide, their body was going to die no matter what they did or didn't do. The heart was going to stop and the body was going to die on that date. Tragedies where a group of people all die on the same day, well, like when the planes hit the World Trade Centers. Everyone who died that day was going to die on that date, whether they participated in that event or not. When my dad and I were writing the book Waiting in the Other Room, Archangel Azrael joined us to talk about death of the human body. He told me that the expiration of the human body is divinely orchestrated at the appointed time and is for the highest good of the human spirit that's transitioning. And in some way, everyone who's connected with that person and is touched by that person's life. There's a plan. We don't see it because in our human minds, we don't want people to die. If they're sick, we want the human body to heal. Archangel Azrael participates in all transitions to the spiritual realm, clipboard in hand, making sure everyone is where they're supposed to be when the spirit leaves the body. And he said that this is the simplest way to explain for our human minds to take it in. Now, when we look at Florence's example of the woman in the house, the man who originally owned the house and the woman's husband both died. But that wasn't because the woman willed the owner to die because she wanted his house, or that he had to die for her to get the house. He could have sold the house, but his body was going to die on that date, no matter what she wanted or didn't want to have happen. And there, in Florence's description, it was as if she willed the owner to die, so karma killed her husband. Well, she didn't have the power to end the human's life, the owner's life, or to cause her husband to die. The focus here should be on how the house became a white elephant for the woman, not the deaths of the original owner and her husband. Had she received the house that was hers by divine right, it wouldn't have become a white elephant, no matter what happened to her husband or the original owner. This is one case that I don't think this is a very good example because when we read this, our focus is on the deaths of the two men involved, which would lead us to freak out about the power we have when demanding the manifestation of something we want. And, could lead to guilt if someone dies when we get what we want. When the reality is, we have no control over the death of others or ourselves. And it's like, oh my God, you start thinking about all this and your thoughts naturally go to, oh my gosh, I could kill someone if I don't ask aright. Well, the answer to that is no. You can't kill someone if you don't ask aright. But you could save yourself a lot of anxiety and actually be happier. Florence tells us that anything forced into manifestation through personal will is always ill-got and has ever bad success. Why is this? Because forced manifestation through personal will is based in fear. And we know that fear energy manifests experiences of fear. When we're in love energy, we're flowing, and there is no need to force anything. And then it gets really tricky when she says that man is admonished, "My will be done, not thine." But she also tells us of the God part within and that we manifest through us. What the heck? So let's unpack this. When Florence uses the term forced manifestation through personal will, in today's world, we would reword personal will to fear. So it reads, anything forced into manifestation through fear. And we know we're in fear when we're forcing energy, because if we were in the vibration of love of the highest order, again, we wouldn't be feeling any need to force anything into manifestation. We'd be flowing in the knowing of the love vibration, fearless. If we're feeling the need to force something, we're in fear energy, not love. And we've learned that when we manifest from fear, we receive experiences laced with fear energy. And when we look back at our lives from this safe space, we can see that we've done exactly that. Manifested awful experiences through our vibration of fear energy, whether by consciously worrying or by defaulting to the hidden belief of not being good enough in our subconscious. Or both. Which leads us to my will be done, not thine. I believe she's speaking to man's energy of fear. My will from the energy of fear, because when we're in the highest vibration of love energy, the God part energy of the superconscious, we are in God's will, working together as one. There is no separation of my will and thy will. So if you read the phrase of my will be done, not thine, reworded as be of my divine love energy, lest your fears be made manifest. Hoo-hoo! That puts a new spin on it. We don't want any fear being made manifest or being done. So when Florence spoke the word for the woman, if this house I desire is mine, I cannot lose it. If it is not, give me its equivalent. She asked aright. She actually demanded the manifestation of the woman's highest good, this or better. Now, here's my take on a scenario playing out when she asked aright. The man who owned the house died. The woman got the house. Her husband died. Then she lived peacefully in the house by herself or with roommates, or she sold it for an excellent price. Had she spoken these words and been of this energy, the house is mine or something better, the way would have been open for the higher outcome after her husband died. Because her husband was going to die on that date, no matter what she did. It's my belief that the owner and the woman's husband were both still going to die, no matter where this woman lived. I don't believe we have the power to influence someone's death. However, I do believe we have the power to negatively influence other people's quality of life when they allow us to. For example, narcissistic people influence the life of their victim, but they can only do that with permission. Now, of course, the victim doesn't actually voice permission. They subconsciously give them permission because they carry a deep-seated belief that they're not worthy, deserving, or good enough to be treated differently. So they give a silent permission by not putting a stop to the behavior of the narcissist. But because we're powerful spiritual beings, we can change that narcissistic scenario by using our own power. Now, Florence's example of the woman forcing her personal will on her daughter not to take the trip is more easily understood when we step back and see the mother's personal will as fear. She was afraid for her daughter to take the trip. She believed it to be dangerous. Now, on the surface, the woman tells her daughter she doesn't want her to take the trip, but behind the scenes, there are cords between that woman and her daughter. There are cords between all mothers and their children unless someone cuts or disconnects it. The mother feels fear, and that fear travels right through those cords to the daughter, and she feels the mother's judgment and fear, and it feels awful. As a result of that fear and judgment, she rebels, and she's determined to take that trip, and she pushes the mother away. Our children can feel the worry and fear that we feel for them through the cords that connect us. Every energy we feel for them flows right through the cords that connects us to them. If it's worry and anxiety, they won't like that feeling, and they'll rebel and push us away. If we're holding them in love energy, they feel that too, and it feels safe, so they will reach out to us. They will feel safe doing that without the judgment flowing in that. Instead, we're flowing through that love energy. No judgment, no worry, no fear. This is what happened with the woman and her daughter. When the woman let go of her need to hold her daughter in fear, she gave her fears to God, leaving her in the state of love for her daughter. The daughter felt that love through the cords that connected them, and the daughter made a better decision for herself. Now, when we're not in agreement with the decisions our children are making, they feel that judgment from us. We can shift out of the fear and judgment by infusing them with love, infusing them, sending to them love sincerely from our hearts. We've taught them to make good decisions. They know how. So even if you're not in agreement of what they're doing, you know they're fully capable of making good decisions. They are fully capable. When we hold them in this love energy, releasing that need to push our fear-filled worry judgment on them, that energy that makes them not want to talk to us, instead they feel the love we hold for them. And they want more of that. And as a result, the way is open for them to make better decisions, and they reach out to us when they need help without fear of judgment. Instead, they're confident that we will support them and help them to feel better. Because we all know worry and judgment make us feel awful. And nobody wants to feel like that. So when you catch yourself worrying about your children, stop. The worst thing you can do for them is worry about them, holding them in that judgment. They feel it and they don't like it because it feels awful. So then they don't want to communicate with us because, let's face it, worry energy feels awful on our end. They're feeling worry, anxiety, and judgment coming from us. And that is not a warm, fuzzy picture. You've taught them well. They're fully capable of making good decisions. Release your need to worry and shift your energy to the vibration of love by infusing them with love energy. Remember, we can't be in fear and love energy at the same time. So when you shift to love, if they don't actually make a better decision for themselves, you will be better equipped to manage whatever happens next. And you'll be able to support them when they need you. And because you infuse them with love instead of fear, that fear energy of worry and judgment, you're holding them in love and they will feel safe coming to you. And that's what we want them to do. So now let's talk about the lady who got the fake $20 bill from the bank. When we observe this experience, we can see that the act of the woman giving her friend stage money was a joke, something to laugh about. She may have laughed passionately at the joke, which told the universe she loves stage money. It makes her happy. So the universe responded in kind, giving her the fake stage money, a $20 bill. Florence tells us repeatedly that the universe has no sense of humor. It's simply energy matching energy to energy, what we feel passionately about. And that includes being passionately angry about something. And if we're passionately angry about something, we are going to attract more of that in short order. Anything we feel passionate about, we're going to get more of that. And with the energy of our planet shifting in such a major way, it's happening more quickly all the time. You feel passionate about something, angry, frustrated, worried. You're going to get more of that really fast. You feel happiness and gratitude and feel happy about something, even if it doesn't look good, if you can shift your energy, you're going to get more of the happiness and things to be grateful for. So let's talk about karma. Karma is the spiritual principle of cause and effect. By definition, it's the sum of our actions in this lifetime boomeranging back to us at a future date. In the simplest of terms, karma is the energy of our behavior reflecting back to us. Florence teaches us that we can neutralize negative karma through the love energy of forgiveness. Let's explore forgiveness by first looking at unforgiveness. Holding someone or something in unforgiveness is like taking poison and expecting the other person to die. I used to hold a lot of things in unforgiveness. And when I heard this sentence, that holding someone or something in unforgiveness is like taking poison and expecting the other person to die, I got really clear on what unforgiveness was. And I didn't like that visual. Unforgiveness is holding another person responsible for your happiness. In some cases, this can be an experience instead of a person, like a fire or an earthquake or some event that caused you pain. So, no matter what's happened, you are the only one responsible for your reactions, your feelings, and ultimately your own happiness. We cannot control what others do, what others say, how they feel. Our behavior is based on the energy that we feel within. When we're emotionally hurting in some way, we're experiencing and being negative fear energy. Hurting is not love energy. Remember, anything less than love is fear, and you cannot be in both at the same time. The physical world has taught us, conditioned us, that when we're hurt, to rehearse over and over again the negative experience or experiences that hurt us. Yeah, that's right. We rehearse it. We don't just replay it. We rehearse it over and over again, getting into that energy, vibrating in those feelings as if it just happened, burning the event and pain even more deeply into our neural pathways. And whether consciously or subconsciously, this is exactly what we do until we consciously choose a different experience. Not only that, unless we consciously choose to evict these replays of the experience that hurt us, that inner self-talk will begin to default to reliving the painful moments over and over and over. Sometimes we don't take responsibility for our feelings of being hurt. We blame others. So we do nothing to heal ourselves because it's the other person's fault that we're hurting. We don't know how to take responsibility for our own feelings, so we don't. What we don't understand is that after that initial shock of an event happens, then it's a choice. Now, it's a subconscious choice. I mean, nobody thinks, okay, I'm just going to be mad about this all the time. Nobody does that. It's a subconscious choice that this hurt. And I'm still feeling this pain. But it is still a choice as to how we're going to continue to feel. Now, do we replay the situation over and over again in our minds and wallow in that unfair pain of what we experienced? Or do we consciously choose to use our power to heal the pain and create something better for ourselves? That's the choice. Which one's it going to be? If we don't consciously choose something better, our brain defaults to what we fed our subconscious last, and that was pain of what we experienced. As a result, we become a prisoner to that pain, harboring anger, resentment, outrage, fear, and sometimes feelings of shame and feeling powerless. These painful energies run in the background of our operating system and subconsciously direct our words, thoughts, and actions toward both others and ourselves. Scientists have studied how painful experiences cause our bodies to release chemicals that tell our brain we have to protect ourselves to survive. It's that fight or flight response. And when the pain is deep and sometimes repetitive, survival mode can become our normal, everyday way of living. I've been there. I've spent years in survival mode. And it is not the way to live. But this is how unforgiveness of painful experiences take over the behavior that we display to the world and builds a sum of negative actions that is bad or negative karma. We subconsciously reflect to the world the pain we feel within us, and we manifest more of it. So now let's look at forgiveness. Forgiveness is about you, not the person or situation you've decided to forgive. It's about you. Forgiveness doesn't mean you're in agreement or condoning the behaviors of others. Far from it. Forgiveness is the gift you give to yourself. Forgiveness is releasing that need to replay the hurt. Forgiveness heals the pain. Forgiveness is a conscious choice, but in order to fully forgive, we must feel safe to forgive. And that means taking our power back from the pain we're holding in unforgiveness. To shift the energy within us, take our power back, and feel safe, first build your safe space by breathing deeply to gain clarity of thought. And ask your angelic team to draw near to you to support you. Whether you feel them or not, your angelic team is always with you. They never leave you, ever. And then accept that what happened, happened. Accept what it is. Again, this does not condone behavior, and it doesn't mean you're in agreement with what happened. You're simply accepting that this experience happened to you, whatever that experience was. And when you accept what happened, you're facing it head on, eyeball to eyeball, and its power over you immediately begins to dissolve. Because when we observe energy, quantum physics teaches us it reacts differently than when it's ignored. And then on the heels of that acceptance, accept that you have the power within you to create a higher outcome. You cannot change past experiences, the things that happened, but you can heal the pain of them and overcome that pain to move forward with your life. And you may be thinking at some point that, well, I really don't have any power. And I know that you wouldn't say that God has no power. There's a God part within you, the divinity within. Pull on that strength, that power, as one with God. Through that love energy, infuse the entire situation and all people involved with love as best you can. The love energy heals the pain within you. When you infuse situations and people with love sincerely from your heart, your energy shifts from fear to love because you cannot send or infuse love from fear. The love vibration heals the fear pain within you and opens the way to create a higher outcome and set you free. With this understanding, we see the woman in Florence's example who made her karma on her aunt. She was living from a vibration of fear. She was out of harmonic. She was out of harmonic flow. Had she stopped and acknowledged the resistance energy in her body, she would have had the opportunity to follow the energy breadcrumbs to where that painful energy was birthed. Heal it and forgive all involved, including herself. Forgiving and healing the resistance energy would have shifted her to the love vibration and neutralized any sum of negative karma she had accumulated. If after saying to her aunt, "No more talk, I wish to eat in peace," if that woman had followed the steps of forgiveness by one, accepting the painful energy within her, and two, consciously choosing to look at and infuse the experience of pain that birthed her need to say awful things like that, Plus, infuse the experience with her aunt with the love of forgiveness. She would have neutralized the karma. And then her experience with the woman she wished to impress would have been based in love, not fear. And the way would have been opened to create a higher outcome. So let's recap what we've covered in this chapter. We unpacked and learned that when we're trying to force something to manifest, we're in fear-based personal will energy. But when we're in love energy, we're one with God, and manifestation flows without anxiety. We learn that when we're vibrating in the love vibration, we are one with God, and my will is thy will, fearlessly manifesting through us because we're no longer separated from God. We are one. We learn that asking aright is fearlessly demanding what we want through love of the highest order, what we want or better, and let the universe decide how it will bring it to us, and we know how to trust in that flow. And that what we get may not look anything like what we thought we wanted, but it's better. And we love it even better. We got a clearer picture of how emotions we feel passionately manifest our life experiences, how the universe matches energy to energy. And with this understanding, we want to be aware of our energy to ensure the passion within us is of the vibration of love. We walked through steps of forgiveness and gained a clearer understanding of how forgiveness is truly a gift we give to ourselves that negates and neutralizes negative karma. So, again, I have added short but powerful meditations that will support you to shift to the love energy. And one of the five webinar classes is the gift of forgiveness. And it's awesome, if I do say so myself. And again, we are in the energy of Mercury retrograde. Listen to the full program and get the handout so you can peek into your future and manage that insightful, amazing energy. And if you have any questions about this, please ask. Again, I know this is a lot. So just to ask me now or post your questions in the private Facebook community and I will answer. I will be back. I am back online. And again, we are moving a tremendous amount of energy. Be gentle with yourself and drink lots of water to flush out negative energy that's been just hanging out for years. Now, next week, we're going to dive into Chapter 6, Casting the Burden, and that completes our content.